You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious Lord, we abide in you and your word abides in us. Through your word now and our contemplation of it, draw us ever more deeply into relationship with you, that our lives may reflect your love and we might bear fruit for your kingdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, could you click one forward for me? Just one time. Thank you so much. Pastors use a lot of tools to do our jobs. One of those tools is called exegesis. Now, exegesis is a fancy word for a simple thing. It simply means to let the text of the scripture speak for itself instead of me reading into it what I expect to see there. Do you ever get a test back from a teacher and there's a whole section of it that has just a big red X through it because you didn't read the instructions carefully enough? You thought you knew what it said, but there was a little detail you missed. It can work that way with Scripture. We can assume we know what we're going to see, and we're just burning right along, and so we kind of miss the point. So one of the easiest ways to do exegesis, to let the text speak for itself, is simply to slow down your reading. Slow it down and reflect more deeply on what you're seeing there. And that's especially helpful with a text like today's reading from 1 John. Like I said in my sermon last week, if Paul was the apostle of grace, John is the apostle of love. There was a lot of love in our reading from John today. It was love this and love that and love the other. And by the end of it, I thought, what was he saying at the beginning of that? 21 verses. And we're rolling along. So I'm going to slow us down and reflect on three of those verses that I think will help us. Because our reading from 1 John was chosen in order to help us understand the gospel reading today. So we're just going to take three of those verses, slow them down a little bit. First of all, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Verse 10, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So let's start with the first of these verses, verse 9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us. Now, we've got an entire season of the church year dedicated to manifestation. In fact, it's what the word means, the word epiphany. And what was made manifest among us was God's love through a very particular event. He sent his only Son into the world. He's talking about the incarnation, the taking on of flesh by the second person of the Holy Trinity, God's Son, so that we can actually see love and hear a definitive word about love from the one who is love. Now, all that said, I'm not focusing on the word love in this first one. I'm going to focus on the word live. The word live. This is the word Zoe in Greek. If you have a friend named Zoe, now you know what her name means. Life. Life. So that we might live through him life. Now, this word is a wonderful word. But there's lots of different ways to understand it. John likes this word almost as much as he likes love. It shows up in his gospel an awful lot. right at the beginning. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Or a verse that I'm intimately familiar with, because unfortunately pastors have to do a lot of funerals, and this gets chosen for funerals a lot. Jesus says, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Zoe. Whenever I hear that passage, I'm reminded of that story we heard the Sunday after Easter, the road to Emmaus story. They're on the way to Emmaus, and Jesus joins them on the way. He who is the way, he's walking with them, he's talking with them, he's opening the scriptures to them so that their hearts burn within them. And he accompanies them to their destination. He's the way and the truth and the life. But that word life is used in three very different ways in the New Testament. Now, where Paul is very precise in his language, Paul's trained, right? Paul's trained as a Pharisee. He's a scholar. Very precise in his use of words. John is more like a poet. He will take words and purposely use them because they have two or more meanings, and he wants you to hold both in your head at the same time. He wants you to slow down and reflect on the truth he's speaking. Michael gets to preach on John 3:16 while I'm gone. It was so hard to give that one up. But in that passage, there's a word that John chooses because it can mean born again or born from above. And he means both. Well, this word life, Zoe, can be used in three different ways. The first of these is biological life, life in this world, simple life. This is where we get zoological from, or zoological in English, right? The study of biological life. There's also eternal or spiritual life. And then there's also a blessedness in our life, meaning this life in this world. Now, because of the context here, what's John talking to us about? He's talking to us about living with each other. That's what this whole section of this letter is about. So he is mostly focused on this last one, although the other two are in sight. Okay? Blessed life. Blessed particularly in community. Jesus joins Cleopas and the other disciple who's unnamed. On the way, they're in community together. They break bread in community together, and it's in the breaking of the bread that he is revealed to them. We are blessed in community. And blessed to be part of this community in particular, because this community is the only one wrapped around the Lord Jesus Christ. And this community is much bigger than those of us who just happen to be up walking around right now. I get a member, someone who worships at this service every Sunday, I'll ask him, how are you doing? And 9 times out of 10 he'll respond, sitting up and taking my nourishment. But the scriptures don't discriminate against those of us who are not sitting up and taking our nourishment. In fact, the blessed community, living blessed in community, if we build this back into our text, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world so that we might live blessed in community through him. You can also tie that other piece in. Live eternally. Live eternally in blessed community. If you ever go into a church and you see this kind of picture, usually up above you on the ceiling, this is the communion of saints we speak so glibly about in the creeds. We are linked arm in arm with those who came before us. God doesn't discriminate against those who served their time. We are in community with them. A blessed community that will last for eternity. One of my favorite sayings from the ancient church is, the only thing you can do alone is go to hell. You go to heaven, you go with everyone else who's on the journey. In fact, as the book of Revelation comes to its close, heaven is pictured as the city of God. There's a lot of people in a city, folks. So this helps us understand. So let's go to our other two verses. We've expanded what John means by life. We've slowed down enough to see what he really means by life. Let's talk about this next verse. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, has anyone in this room ever used the word propitiation outside of church? It's a word we don't get much from. It's the word helasmon in Greek. And I'm not showing off my Greek. Any pastor can do this. But it's another word that has multiple meanings. Our translators chose the word propitiation, which means to regain God's favor through sacrifice. See, most translating committees have a lot of Calvinists on them. Calvinists are focused on the law because Calvin was a lawyer. So this is in the law, in the Old Testament, this is how you regain God's favor when it's been broken by sin. You sacrifice something. But it means two other things as well. It also means expiation. Another fun word you never see outside of church. Which is the removal or the forgiveness of sins. And it also means atone. Atone's a fancy word for amends, which is like the word mend, just to fix. To fix what went wrong. And all these things are done most clearly for us in the Son of God on the cross. There he is, the propitiation, the expiation, the atonement for our sins. If we take this full meaning of helasmon and take it back into our passage, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the helasmon for our sins, what that means is the atoning, forgiving sacrifice for our sins. This is what John's aiming at. And that, so that helps us contextualize what he's talking about when he says love. And that brings us to our final verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And of course, the word love here is agape. A word that existed in ancient Greek but was almost never used until the New Testament was written. Because it meant sacrificial love. Self-sacrificial love. And that's a new thing. When it says that we didn't know how, basically what John's saying is we didn't know how to love till God showed us. How did God show us to love? That love, the true measure of love, is sacrifice. So we can read back into this word agape because he's trying to help us understand what he means. He's going to use love over and over again. What does he mean by love? He means the things those other two verses pointed to. Living eternally in this blessed community, and this is the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have had a communion of love, one God in eternal community forever, long before the world was created. And he shares that with us out of love. His own internal life of love he shares with us. And then, of course, this is what we need to do because there's no sin to be forgiven within the Trinity. So for us, what that looks like is living sacrificially as Jesus did. Atoning for and forgiving each other's sins. Now, we're used to thinking of that, and we should think of that primarily as something Jesus does. But John is actually saying that for us to live, we need to imitate Jesus in this regard. God's showing us how to love. Now we've got to do it. Now we think of making sacrifices and atoning for and forgiving each other is primarily something Jesus does. But if you've been in any relationship at all for any length of time, you know that this is how you preserve community. This is how you preserve relationship. We already had one husband joke this morning. So husbands, complete this sentence for me. Happy wife.
Happy life.
Happy life. Ladies, I'm sure you have your parallel. We always remind each other of that in the context of this. More important to lose the argument and preserve the relationship. That's what we mean by that. Lose the argument, preserve the relationship. Take it on the chin this time, bucko. Sacrifice. Atoning means fixing, mending. Do you ever have a friendship? Romantic relationship? Relationship with your kids or your parents? And you didn't know what you did wrong, you just all of a sudden knew everything was chilly and you didn't know how to fix it. So we're just going to get in the same space and deal with each other until we fixed it. I have a friend who's a pastor not too far from here. He and his wife got to the place they wouldn't talk to each other without a third person from the congregation present. And they finally decided, they submitted themselves to the authority of their elders, and the elder said, "You're going into that room and you're not coming out till you fix this." They screamed at each other for 8 hours. They fell asleep for 2. And then they woke up and said, "I think we fixed this." And now they're great. You don't know how to fix it. Sometimes it's just showing up. But we have to fix it. And the root of forgiving, of fixing anything, is forgiving one another. Any relationship that's lasted for any length of time, you've needed forgiveness and you've needed to extend forgiveness. How long does the honeymoon last, married couples? I hear 3 months, I hear 6 months. Because I'm a pain and hard to live with, it lasted halfway through our first day into our honeymoon till my wife and I had our first little bang. And it was my fault, not hers. She still won't clean. No. No, it's fair. It's fair. She was right. She was trying to do something nice for me and I criticized. Didn't mean to, but I did. I needed forgiveness. We all need forgiveness. This is how love is expressed. This is how community comes together. That's just at a purely human level. This is what love looks like. But we didn't know that till Christ showed us. That's why this word was used so rarely. Out of the 4 words for love in the Greek language, this one was almost never used. Till Christ came along and showed us what the love of God was and said, "Hey, you do the same." In our gospel reading today, he calls this bearing fruit. And he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." We have to be grafted tightly into him to bear fruit. I love this icon. You see Jesus in the center there, and these are the 12 apostles. They're all around it. Sometimes John the Baptist gets thrown in with them, or Mary, or a couple others. But the truth is, we're all part of this tree. There's not a wall big enough to paint this icon on properly. We are all connected to the one true vine. And the tightness with which we bind ourselves to him will determine how fruitful our lives are. Down here in this little bit here, it's in really stylized print. It's small. It's in King James. But it's this verse. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You can do nothing. That word is for all of us. All of us. Where are you in your life right now? What relationship is tense and needs mending? Where do you need to ask for forgiveness or extend forgiveness? What sacrifices do you have to make to preserve community, and above all, the beloved community, the church, that we may continue on together, that we might shoulder to shoulder march upon the gates of hell and continue on the way to heaven? Our readings proclaim to us that Jesus has done what is necessary, and now he's enlisted us to become like him. Let's pray to him right now to help us with that. Lord, you have shown us the true nature of love. You sacrificed your only son. Jesus, you sacrificed yourself that we might know what love is. Help us to make the sacrifices necessary to show true love, to fix what is broken, to mend it, to atone, to seek forgiveness and extend it to others. We ask for your blessing, that we might show your love to the world and live in your love here, a blessed life filled with your grace. We ask it in your precious name, Jesus, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best art in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light.